La Asamblea General.
The General Assembly will hear a statement by His Excellency Mahmoud Abbas, President of the State of Palestine. May I request protocol to escort His Excellency.
En nombre de la Asamblea.
On behalf of the General Assembly, I have the honor to welcome to the United Nations His Excellency Mahmoud Abbas, President of the State of Palestine, and to invite him to address the Assembly.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, Mr. President, Madam President, ladies and gentlemen. In this year proclaimed by the United Nations General Assembly as the International Year of Solidarity with the Palestinian people, Israel has chosen to make it a year of a new war of genocide perpetrated against the Palestinian people. In this year in which this assembly on behalf of the countries and peoples of the world conveyed the world's yearning and determination to realize a just peace that achieves freedom and independence for the Palestinian people in their state of Palestine alongside with Israel, the occupying power has chosen to defy the entire world by launching its war on Gaza, by which its jets and tanks brutally assassinated lives and devastated the homes, schools, and dreams of thousands of Palestinian children, women, and men, and in reality destroying the remaining hopes for peace. I have addressed you, ladies and gentlemen, in this hall during similar days in 2012, and I cautioned that the colonial occupying power was preparing for a new Nakba against the Palestinian people. I appeal to you, prevent a new Nakba, support the establishment of a free and independent state of Palestine now. I return to this same hall 2 months later as Palestine was healing her wounds and her people were burying beloved martyred children, women, and men after yet another war waged against the Gaza Strip. On that day, I stated, certainly there was not a single person in the world needing the loss of the lives of tens of thousands of Palestinian children in order to confirm that Israel insists on occupation. And there was no need for thousands of deadly raids and tons of explosives to remind the world that there is an occupation that must end and that there is a people that must be freed. Here we are again today. We find ourselves full of grief, regret, and bitterness, raising the same long-standing conclusions and questions after a new war, the third war waged by the racist occupying state in 5 years against Gaza. This small, densely populated, and precious part of our country. The difference today is that the scale of this genocidal crime is larger, that the list of martyrs, especially children, is longer, as well as lists of the wounded and disabled, and that dozens of families have been completely decimated. The difference today is that approximately 500,000 persons were displaced from their homes, and that the number of homes, schools, hospitals, public buildings, residential buildings, mosques, factories, and even cemeteries destroyed is unprecedented. They followed our youngsters and people to avenge themselves on them in the cemeteries. And the difference today is that the devastation caused by this recent aggression is unmatched in modern times, as confirmed by a witness, the Honorable Commissioner General of UNRWA. This last war against Gaza constituted a series of absolute war crimes carried out before the eyes and ears of the entire world, moment by moment. No one can pretend today that he wouldn't realize the size of the crime. No one can support Israel's right to self-defense without regard for the fate of the thousands of victims of our people, ignoring a simple fact that we remind them of today, that the life of a Palestinian is as precious as the life of any other human being. Ignoring facts on the ground cannot erase them. We must also assume that no one will wonder anymore why extremism is rising and why the culture of peace is losing ground and receding, and why the efforts to achieve it are collapsing. Yet we believe and hope that no one will try to aid the occupation this time in its impunity and its attempts to evade accountability for its crimes. In the name of Palestine, Madam President, ladies and gentlemen, I affirm here today, we will not forget, nor will we forgive or allow war criminals to escape punishment. I affirm before you that the people of Palestine hold fast, steadfast to its legitimate right to defend itself against the Israeli war machine and to its legitimate right to resist this colonial racist Israeli occupation. At the same time, I would like to affirm that our grief, trauma, and anger will not for a moment make us abandon our humanity, our values, and our ethics. We will always preserve our respect and commitment to international law, international humanitarian law, and the international consensus. We will maintain the traditions of our national struggle established by Palestinian fidayeen or martyrs, and to which we committed ourselves since the onset of the Palestinian Revolution in early 1965. Madam President, ladies and gentlemen, in the midst of a torrent of massacres and storms of massive destruction, we witnessed the peoples of the world gathering in huge demonstrations in the streets of many cities declaring their condemnation of aggression and occupation and their support for freedom for Palestine. We also witnessed the overwhelming majority of countries on the various continents declaring the same noble position and rushing to provide all kinds of support and assistance to our people. We witnessed the qualitative and quantitative broadening of activities of the international grassroots boycott campaign against Israel's policies of occupation, apartheid, and colonial settlement, especially among academia, cultural, student, and youth groups. In the name of Palestine, we pay tribute to everyone who chose to stand with human values and demanded freedom, justice, and peace. All of those manifestations of true solidarity constituted an important message to those who were facing genocide in Gaza, helping them to feel they felt that they were not alone. The recent Israeli war confirmed on the ground the crux of what the Israeli government had been declaring in closed rooms of negotiations. This war came after long, difficult negotiations for more than 8 months under the auspices of the United States and the efforts of President Barack Obama and tenacious efforts of his Secretary of State, John Kerry. We engaged in this endeavor with open minds, in good faith, and with a positive spirit. We engaged with the efforts of the American administration and put forth our firm positions based on resolutions of international legitimacy. We genuinely respected all of our commitments and understandings as we watched ongoing and escalating Israeli violations. We exercised unimaginable self-restraint, silencing our cries and tending to our own wounds in order to give American efforts the best possible chance for success. However, as usual, the Israeli government did not miss the opportunity without undermining chances for peace. Throughout the months of negotiations, settlement construction, land confiscations, home demolitions, killing and arrest campaigns, forced displacement, and large scale in the West Bank continued unabated, and the unjust blockade on the Gaza Strip was tightened. The occupation's campaign specifically targeted the city of Jerusalem and its inhabitants, attempting to artificially alter the spirit, identity, and character of the holy city, focusing on the Aqsa Mosque, threatening grave consequences. At the same time, racist and armed gangs of settlers persisted and their crimes against the Palestinian people, the land, mosques, churches, properties, and olive trees. As usual, the Israeli government once again failed the test of peace. It breached an agreement with the American administration regarding the release of a number of Palestinian prisoners in the occupation's jails. And we continue to insist on releasing all of them. When confronted with simple questions in the direct negotiations or through the American mediator, the Israeli government did not hesitate to reveal its true positions. Israel refuses to end its occupation of the state of Palestine, which it occupied in 1967. Rather, it seeks its continuation and entrenchment. It rejects the Palestinian state. It refuses to find a just solution to the plight of the Palestinian refugees. This is the official position of the government of Israel. The future proposed by the Israeli government for the Palestinian people is at best isolated ghettos for Palestinians on fragmented land without borders and without sovereignty over its airspace, water, and natural resources, which will be under the subjugation and control of the racist settlers and the army of occupation, and at worst, will be a most abhorrent form of apartheid. Some of them say we are for two states. Where is the state of Palestine? These are the characteristics they intend for the state of Palestine. Israel has confirmed in the course of negotiations that it rejects making peace with its victims, the Palestinian people. This has all been done concurrently with an attempt to give a religious nature to the conflict and with the rising and rampant racism in the Israeli political and media discourse and its entrenchment in the school curricula and in a series of laws and practices of the occupation and its settlers. This culture of racism, incitement, and hatred was glaringly manifested in the despicable, appalling crime committed months ago by fascist settlers who abducted the young Jerusalemite boy Muhammad Abu Khdir, burned him alive, and killed him then. This reminds them of something else in history. Over the past years, the occupying power has also pursued a policy aimed at deliberately debilitating the Palestinian National Authority to undermine it and, in essence, to fully negate its role. Occupation targeted the work we have been relentlessly undertaking to establish the foundations of the state of Palestine that we want, a sovereign and independent state living in peace and building bridges of mutual cooperation with its neighbors that respects commitments, obligations, and agreements, strengthens the values of citizenship, equality, non-discrimination, human rights, the rule of law, and pluralism, deepens the Palestinian enlightened traditions of tolerance, coexistence, and non-exclusion, strengthens the culture of peace, promotes the role of women, establishes effective administration committed to the standards of good governance. The occupation wants to impose its own model. Because it is the antithesis of its settlement policies, because it wants to destroy the chance for the realization of the Palestinian existence in an independent state within the framework of the two-state solution. When our efforts to end the internal division through national dialogue succeeded, a few months ago, and we prepared to restore the unity of our land, nation, and institutions, and we formed a national consensus government and began the process to lead to the holding of presidential and legislative elections, all states of the world welcomed that achievement, with the exception of Israel, which has constantly sought to fragment our land and our national unity. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, now, where do we go from here? The idea that it is possible to simply return to the past patterns of work which repeatedly failed is naive at best, and in any case, erroneous, as it ignores the fact that it is no longer acceptable nor possible to repeat methods that have proven futile or to continue with approaches that have repeatedly failed and require comprehensive review and radical correction. It is impossible, I repeat, it is impossible to return to the whirlwind, the cycle of negotiations that failed to deal with the substance of the matter and the fundamental question. There is neither credibility nor seriousness in negotiations in which Israel predetermines the results via its settlement activities and the occupation's brutality. There is no meaning or value in negotiations for which the agreed objective is not ending the Israeli occupation and achieving the independence of the State of Palestine, with East Jerusalem as its capital on the entire Palestinian territory occupied in 1967 war. There is no value in negotiations which are not linked to a firm timetable for the implementation of this goal. It's high time for this settlement occupation to end now. Palestine refuses to have the right to freedom of her people and who are subjected to terrorism by the racist occupying power, and its settlers remain hostage to Israel's security conditions. The people of Palestine are actually the ones who need immediate international protection. We are seeking this through international organization. We are in need of security and peace more than any other people. The children of Palestine are worthy of the world's efforts to ensure that their childhood dreams and lives will not be devastated once again. It is time for the chapters of this prolonged, ongoing tragedy to be closed. Those who were uprooted from their warm homes, good land, and beautiful country during Al-Nakba 66 years ago, pushed in the misery of exile and live as refugees, and now being forced into new waves of expulsion onto the ships of death in the world seas, are in need of assurances that they will not be displaced from their homes once again, that their homes will not be destroyed again, and that they will not spend their lives awaiting the explosion of a new war. It is time for this long journey to come to an end, or this tragedy rather, to come to an end. We will not accept to forever be the ones being demanded to prove their good intentions by making concessions at the expense of their rights, and to remain silent as they are killed and their land is devoured, and to understand the conditions of the other party and the importance of preserving its coalition government while it entrenches its occupation. We are trying to exercise our primordial life to dream about more beautiful days, to expect a stable and ordinary tomorrow, and for our youth to be able to plan their coming days and years safely in peace and freedom over our land like all other peoples of the world. The time has come for a real, just peace to prevail in the land of peace. As I mentioned more than once, we are the only people remaining under occupation in the world. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, we, along with all the Arab countries, have constantly cautioned about the disastrous consequences of the continuation of the Israeli occupation and the denial of freedom and independence for the people of Palestine. We have repeatedly drawn attention to the fact that allowing Israel to act as a state above the law with impunity and absolving it of any accountability or punishment for its policies, aggression, and defiance of the international will and legitimacy has absolutely provided fertile ground and an environment conducive to the growth of extremism, hatred, and terrorism in our region. Confronting the terrorism that plagues our region by groups such as ISIL or Daesh and others that have no basis whatsoever in the tolerant Islamic religion or with humanity. They are committing brutal and heinous atrocities. This requires more than military confrontation. This is an urgent matter. It requires more than condemnations and declarations of positions, which are, of course, necessary. This requires a comprehensive and credible strategy to dry up the sources of terrorism and eradicate its roots in all political, intellectual, economic, and social spheres in our region. It requires the creation of solid foundations for a reasonable, practical consensus that makes the fight against all forms of terrorism in any place, everywhere, a collective task that is undertaken by the alliance of nations, peoples, and civilizations. It requires, in this context and as a priority, bringing an end to the Israeli occupation of our country, which constitutes in its practices and perpetuation an abhorrent form of state terrorism and a breeding ground for incitement, tension, and hatred. Mr. President, at a time when we are still suffering from the horrors of war, we face a formidable challenge to reconstruct what has been destroyed by occupation. This is the third time to reconstruct the destruction wreaked upon us by occupation. At the invitation of the Arab Republic of Egypt and the Kingdom of Norway, which we deeply appreciate, the city of Cairo will host next month an international conference for the relief and reconstruction of the Gaza Strip. Our government will present comprehensive reports to the conference on the losses inflicted by the aggression on the different sectors of society, and it will provide details of the plans and programs that will be rapidly implemented and supervised in the Gaza Strip to meet immediate relief needs and the requirements for reconstruction in full coordination with United Nations agencies and bodies. Everything will take place under the supervision of the UN. More than 2 days ago, the Palestinian factions emphasized its support for the Gaza to facilitate reconstruction. While we reiterate our appreciation to and gratitude to all states and organizations that rushed to provide assistance to the people of Palestine in the course and after the war, we are confident that brotherly and friendly countries will not waver in supporting support and plans and programs. We will present, and that we are also confident that the conference will achieve practical results that fulfill the expectations and needs of the victims of this aggression. We reaffirm here that the primary prerequisite for the success of all these plans and efforts is an end to the ongoing Israeli despicable blockade that has for years suffocated the Gaza Strip and turned it into the largest prison in the world for nearly 2 million Palestinian citizens. At the same time, we affirm our commitment and the need to consolidate the ceasefire through negotiations under the auspices of Egypt. However, in order to avert repeating the cycle of wars and a whirlwind of reconstruction every 2 or 3 years It is imperative to focus on the fundamental issue, the starting point, that is, the suffering of Gaza will not be completely terminated except by ending the occupation and the achievement of the independence of the State of Palestine. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, during the past 2 weeks, Palestine and the Arab group undertook intensive contacts with the various regional groups in the United Nations to prepare for the introduction of a draft resolution to be adopted by the Security Council on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and to push forward the efforts to achieve peace. We still believe in peace through international legitimacy. This endeavor reaffirms our commitment to achieve a just peace through a negotiated solution and our adoption of a diplomatic and political effort through UN bodies. This endeavor is inspired by and based fully on the spirit and provisions of the many resolutions you have approved in the General Assembly and those adopted by the Security Council, which have set the foundations for a lasting solution and just peace. There is nothing new. All these are adopted resolutions. This endeavor aspires to correct the deficiency of the previous efforts to achieve peace by affirming the goal of ending Israeli occupation and achieving the two-state solution. The State of Palestine, with East Jerusalem as its capital over the entire territory occupied in 1967, alongside the State of Israel, and reaching a just and agreed solution to the plight of the Palestinian refugees on the basis of Resolution 194, with a specific time frame for the implementation of these objectives as stipulated in the Arab Peace Initiative. There must be a time frame for the implementation of these objectives. This will be linked to the immediate resumption of negotiations between Palestine and Israel to demarcate the borders, reach a detailed and comprehensive agreement, draft a peace treaty between them. A detailed and comprehensive agreement on all issues of the final status and hence a comprehensive peace treaty between us and them. We are confident that this endeavor receives all-out support by those who are committed to ensuring that our country will not witness new wars and atrocities, by those who wish to support a campaign to combat terrorism, those who believe that it is necessary to act expeditiously to rectify the historical injustice inflicted by the Nakba on the people of Palestine, and those who wish to see peace prevail in the land of monolithic religions. The adoption of this resolution will affirm what you strove to realize in this year as the International Year of Solidarity with the people of Palestine, who will continue their struggle and steadfastness and will rise brave and strong from the rubble of destruction. We, as our poet Mahmoud Darwish said, are infected with an incurable disease. That is hope. We are infected with an incurable disease. That is hope. We love life if we are given the chance for it. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, there is an occupation that must end now. There is a people that must be freed immediately. The hour of independence of the State of Palestine has arrived. And I think that you listen to it. Thank you very much for it.
On behalf of the General Assembly, I wish to thank the President of the State of Palestine for the statement just made. May I request representatives to remain seated while we greet the President.